OTB's Mount Rushmore. 32 counties, one county representative choosing their sporting Mount Rushmore. Some decisions are easy.
And I was seeing teachers who had never expressed any emotion whatsoever lose their mind when Sonny was running in that home straight, trying to catch that bold spot.
Others are controversial.
Mayo's greatest celebrity fan now helps him earn his place on Mayo's Mount Rushmore is Kevin Kilbane.
Join the debate across all our social channels at Off the Ball.
George O'Connor, 17 summers in purple and gold.
And catch the live decision-making over the next few months on OTB AM, live every weekday at 7.30 a.m. on OTB Sports Radio. The OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
Kieran Donaghy, good morning.
Morning, how are you keeping?
Not too bad. So Colm O'Rourke there says the current situation we've got in the GAA is the worst of every world. Would you go along with that?
Look, it's not ideal, but it's an extremely difficult time to be involved in all this, to be honest with you. But yeah, like, you know, I think certainly they've dropped the ball in a few areas, you know, in regards to, and Basketball Ireland have done something similar where they've kind of put it back on the clubs and COVID officers, and you kind of look after your patch down there. I think there could have been a tiny bit more support. And, you know, from what I've heard from even when Dr. Tony Hoolan was always talking, temperature was a big thing. And, you know, maybe the GAA clubs could have been provided with a thermometer to check the players and club officials when they come in, first thing crossing the gates of the club. And if anybody was over the 37.5 kind of mark, that they'd be automatically sent home, just to reduce the risk again. Whereas we are doing all the sanitizing, we are doing all the filling out the COVID forms online, we are kind of getting in to training that way. But, you know, there should have been probably more done to support clubs and support that first wave that's going back out onto the pitch, marking each other, because it's just the overall picture is probably being lost at times. Like, we're all delighted to be back playing football, but this COVID thing, as we've seen from Marty Investigates shows, this is life and death in many ways for people. And I don't think the players, you know, I think players are, you know, hopefully will be fit enough to fight off a lot of it. But it's the people that, if they're infected on a pitch or on a training ground or in a game, and it's the people that they possibly go on and affect afterwards. And, you know, if somebody gets very sick or the ultimate worst case scenario, if someone died that you passed it on to, or you felt you passed it on to, that'd be quite hard to live with. So, you know, I think there should have been more done to really try and be all over this as we were the first kind of almost guinea pigs back into action.
Right, because it does seem that there's two separate conversations here. There's one about the club versus the county player, and that's all fine. And then there's a separate conversation here about the safety of the players. And you seem to be of the opinion that more could be done for the club players, who, let's not forget, are going to be the first people out there. Like, again, it's 100% of the organisation, of the playing part of the organisation, but they're going to be the first ones out there. And you feel that perhaps, given the lack of thermometers in some counties, or the voting against mandatory use of thermometers, not everything's actually being done to protect the player.
Yeah, precisely. That's exactly my point. I can't understand why the thermometer thing isn't, you know, they've always said, like, that it's one of the, if you've any symptoms but your temperature is the automatic giveaway if your temperature is above a certain level. It's a warning sign anyway that you shouldn't be around people and you should probably be at home until that temperature starts itself out, or until you can find out if you have any more symptoms, or indeed if you get tested and find out that you have it or don't have it. Probably you should be staying away until them things are carried out. But yeah, just like, you know, you just see with the Aussie rules, you obviously see with the professional teams, the way they're all going back and they're all being tested and they're getting tested, all these tests 10 times a week and all this kind of stuff. Same with the NBA starting over in the bubble now, where they're all living in a bubble and they're all kind of around their own people, and there's still people getting it. And I guess, you know, we're all obviously amateurs, so we're all working daily lives. We're all trying to train. We've all got big fixtures coming up, so you're trying to make every training, and you're trying to make all these big games. And, you know, we've all played with colds before, and we've all played with a bit of a flu when the game was big enough. And, you know, I just urge anybody to think of a bigger picture, that if you are feeling any symptoms, this isn't the time to be a kind of a hero or a martyr for the cause, for the club, and try and get through it and play, because ultimately you could have something that's not only very dangerous to your fellow players and your fellow clubmates, but just to your pocket in society and old people in your club or old people in your family or old people in your opposition's family, or club. So it's, I think that's more, the whole club and county thing is its own debate. And, you know, I think the GA said, look, we're going to go with club first. I think it two factors. I think they wanted to see how it went first. And secondly, then obviously to see if we could get more crowds into the bigger county games down the line. So I don't think technically they put the club first. I think they said, look, we'll try this. And if this works, then we might be able to get people in and revenue and such from games. So that's a whole other debate. But I think the health, when this boils down and the COVID boils down, it's all down to health and keeping people alive. And that's the most important thing. And I think that should be to the forefront of the GAA's, that should be the forefront of their focus. And it is, but I think they should be offering more support to people. I think, or like us in Stacks, we paid for our own thermometer. I think we had a bit of a collection there training the last day, and it was got yesterday for the rest of the training. So I think, you know, it's something that teams might have to do, but I think it should have been provided, really.
But players came together to actually chip in for your own because you felt that it would just feel safer going out on the pitch?
Yeah. We just felt that it was something that, you know, I think it was put to the club to kind of get it. And, you know, sure, clubs have very little lottos now. They're going to have a lot of resources now with all these games and physio bills and stuff like that coming up. So, you know, we do a lot of that in Stacks. We got our own footballs there for the senior team recently as well. So yeah, look, I think they're about €100. So it's not a big deal. But you know, I think just 2,200 clubs in Ireland, so maybe €220,000 for the GA to support every club in Ireland with a thermometer that'll be of a high level and a high spec, that will do the job right, and that every person that crosses the gates for training or games is tested, and anybody over the sent home. I don't think it's rocket science, to be quite honest with you.
But what happens is that if you look at that Westmeath example that we've been quoting a couple of times this morning, that so the chairman steps in and he says, listen, we need to get thermometers because it's an extra layer of security and I'm highly recommending this. And suddenly there's a full-on debate about the rights and wrongs of having a thermometer. The Gary Castle delegate is saying that, you've said they cost €50. I think they cost €80. And why are we having this massive debate about this thing when, like you say, I mean, I don't think it's beyond any club to be able to go and foot a tiny bit like that. You talk about the player safety and the health of players being at the forefront. So the GA have probably quite rightly gone on and said, listen, here's the recommendations around this. But there's been a fall off between that and specific guidance around stuff like temperatures. And ultimately it's coming down, Kieran, to individual player responsibility, where in a sport that culturally seems to be, maybe there's a bit of a deficit in terms of that. Like you said, players have got a bit of an injury or a flu, or they're going to play through that, and maybe they're applying the same rules here. But fundamentally, that the clear guidance, and it's not too late, right? Like GA can step in anytime they want. That clear guidance has been maybe the one thing that's really been lacking from this entire thing.
Yeah, I think they probably need to step in on a few fronts, to be honest with you. I think it's kind of time to bite the bullet for the GA. This is a big issue in the world right now. And I think, you know, I think when they kind of go down the line of the both sides, the club versus county, you could very easily come in and say, look, if anybody's on the field actually training with their counties before September 14th, there's fines or there's whatever punishments can be given out, because as Mike Quirk's article rightly said, if you're driving up and down the N7 every day, there's no punishment for going 180 kilometres an hour, sure, and you're in a rush, then why wouldn't you go that speed? But like, you know, as Michal rightly said, he clocks it at 120 because there's fines and there's penalty points, and he doesn't want that in his record. And that's the way it probably should be in the GA. There should be some kind of punishment. So I think they could step in there, but I think they could also say that physical training maybe is not acceptable to September 14th, but maybe meeting, because you know, I had an interesting chat with a person there recently that was involved in high level sport in France. And they were saying that like their training zones were between either 1 and 2, which is at the bottom, or 9 and 10 when it comes to intensity. They never worked between 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. That was just an area they felt was a waste of time. So basically they would do a lot of walkthroughs or else they'd be going flat out. That was the two kind of parameters of the way they trained. And, you know, I think there could have been certain things looked at there. But, you know, I think county teams should be able to meet and should be able to talk and out in the pitch about maybe things that they want to work in, or just do walkthroughs where fellas could do it on top of the club training. And like Mike is doing above Unleashed, talking to the clubs about recovery and how to have their players in the best shape possible and giving them all the insight and high level professionalism that is in the county scene now, and passing that down to the club level to all of them so they can try and have these best players in the best shape coming back. But obviously that if teams are getting knocked out and players are getting knocked out, of course they can come back into the county training and do individual training with the teams or indeed as so I think they could definitely come out and tidy that up, and I think they could also tidy the other thing up.
Kieran, can I ask you just like this and a lot, almost all of these topics, the fixture list and everything, come back to one person, two people in every county, the county managers, and the heavy-handed influence, too much influence, Michael Dygan spoke about during the week, that they have. Would you agree that that's fundamentally the most significant issue in each of those counties, the influence of the county manager, and what can be done about it?
Well, it's hard to know, really, because sometimes it might be the county manager, but it could also be the county chairman. You don't know where the chairman's loyalties lie with this. You know, we've seen certain people come out and back the club very much, but you know, that'd be the popular thing to do now. But I think if people really wanted their county team to succeed and do well, and they were to come out and say it, you know, I think they get a lot of ridicule for it. So it's fine to come out and support the club game, but and that's just the viewpoint people have when they hear these guys speak. But of course, county managers have too much control in some places, and then there's possibly places where they don't have enough control. So it shouldn't be on that, and that's the ultimate point here. This should have been a very clear directive sent down from the top. You know. We know who the bosses are in the GEA, and that shouldn't have been left up to any one person to paddle their own boat or fix their own things. It should have been a bit more probably strong-handed by the GEA, just on the point of safety. Like for years, I put my grandmother to bed when she was old because my mom couldn't lift her in, so we used to take turns and go in. But like in the current circumstances, I'd be in a very tricky position there, you know, with an 85-year-old woman who isn't the best of health, and I'm, you know, spending 25 minutes with her to get her changed and get her into bed and stuff. I'd be in a very tricky position if my grandmother was alive, God rest her soul, on that basis only. So, you know, when you see people like Jack McCaffrey that are working in hospitals that are stepping out, and I'm sure there's plenty of others too, maybe not as high profile, you know, there's a clear reason for this, because there's worry there, and you know, players want to play. Of course we want to represent our clubs. Of course we want to give something to the community. We've been ravaged by misery and sorrow over the last 4 months, and I think people want to try and lift the spirits of people, and I think people are desperate to give a yahoo at a ref or a yahoo at a player in a game and you know, to get that pent-up energy that's built up over these last 4 or 5 months off their chest. These people are used to going to games every weekend. So we are, of course, want to bring that side to it, but we should be bringing that side to it with also the backing of knowing that as much as possible within reason is being provided by the organisation to make sure that all its members are safely looked after.
Mm. Just on the club versus county thing again, Kieran, like I think with the lack of an actual sanction, I think that will create widespread paranoia, if nothing else, and that may lead to counties coming back training earlier because they believe that their neighbour next door has been back earlier than them training. And like the headline on that Mike Quirk piece is, you've proof of county training, then grow a pair, he quotes, and call it out. Like the thing you'd be closest to is the Kerry team. Have the Kerry team been back training?
Not that I'm aware of, but I'm pretty sure that they are thinking about getting back, meeting up, like trying to have these meetings, like, you know, as right. In walkthroughs. I'm pretty sure that I don't think club managers would have an issue with it either. You know, I think it's very, it's more tactical. I think the county managers have to place a lot of trust in the clubs now to get their players fit, right, and healthy. But it is a lot to try and, like, the intricacies of the modern game now, the tactical evolution of the game, where you've set players from throw-ins, you've set players from kickouts, you've set players from sideline balls, you've defensive structures, you've offensive structures, you've offensive structures against the blanket. You've so much to do, and really, when September 14 comes, they'll want to be seeing who's playing well. They'll want to be seeing who's in form. This is do or die stuff when it does start up. So, and I know it's two league games at the start, but there's a lot of teams that are placing massive value in the league or in very tricky positions in the league and want to survive or get promoted to play in certain championships next year, etc. So it's going to be very serious when it kicks off. So, you know, and that's where I think the GAA need to step in here and say, look, okay, lads, we've heard bits and pieces of people training. You know, there's no way there's trainings to happen while there's county championships going on. Players will only train with their clubs, but you are allowed to meet up. And, you know, if people are training hard with their clubs and a county manager gets them in on a Tuesday on a night and a Saturday morning to do walkthroughs and do tactical sessions, well, if he's going to run them around the place on top of all the training they're doing with the club, that isn't overly intelligent either. So I don't see them doing that. But I think it's the contact. I think it's getting little things that they want to bring into their game true to their players. And I think that kind of 4 or 5 week period they have to get ready for October 17th is pretty tight to do a lot of that, considering the championships are going to be going on to the 11th of October. So you've in Kerry, you've the likes of David Clifford within East Kerry, being involved with East Kerry to the 11th of October. You know, he's going to be a fairly busy man if he's trying to do every training with the club and every training with the county and every meeting and every video session. He's going to be quite a busy man up until the 11th of October if they do go back to another county final and try and retain their crown. So that's a lot on players too. And I think David would be much happier if he said, look, instead of having a manic 3 or 4 weeks where you're gone every night and you're trying to do things with club and county, that he could get little bits in now with the club and walkthrough, or with the county and walkthroughs, and then go back in and do all his physical training with the club.
Like, I think you were making the point actually yesterday morning, Adrian. Like, nobody will mind in this current scenario if people change their mind. So Kieran, yeah. could the GAA come out today and say this is actually the punishment we think is fair after listening to what the country has been saying over the last week? We've actually decided that there should be a punishment. Do you think that would be a fair thing to do? And also, what do you think that punishment should be?
I would certainly have no issue with the GAA coming out reaffirming their stance on this, because we've seen with this disease constantly since the start that things evolve an awful lot in 2 or 3 weeks. And this was kind of announced 2 weeks ago. So, you know, there's no harm coming out and saying, look, there's been some uplift in cases within communities and we're going to tighten everything up. Every club must have a thermometer. We're going to provide it when you go back to tighten up all that kind of side of it, and then also readdress the club versus county issue and say, you know, we're aware of county teams training and pulling players from the clubs, and we're going to lay heavy fines on anybody that does that. So that can be cut out right now. Players should be only training with their clubs, but we will allow walkthroughs with the county teams, or we will allow tactical sessions or whatever. And as I said, if the clubs know they're getting all their players and they're training hard Tuesday, Friday and Sunday, I don't think the county team can expect to do another full session or two on top of that. So it'd be madness for them to be training anyway, because their players can't do 5 or 6 nights in a row. So, but I think county managers would be quite happy to sit down and go through a lot of these things, that when they do get out onto the pitch and when it is okay and safe for them, everybody to get back training and everybody's on a level playing field, then you can start ramping up your preparation and your thing. But you can do it in a much quicker manner, because you can say, okay, lads, remember the kick out that we walked through a week ago? We'll have a quick look at it here on the board, and you go straight in and do it. You don't have to explain it all again on the board, which takes a few minutes off your training session. You've already a lot of the explanations done. You know, I think you can do a lot through Zoom now. So the county players would train with their clubs and maybe have 2 or 3 Zoom sessions a week, whether they wanted to do a bit of strength and conditioning just to build a bit of camaraderie, or whether they wanted to keep it very simple and just go through stuff that they've struggled with the year before or that they struggled with in the early part of the league, and do very good tactical analysis. The tactical analysis done by inter-county setups now is brilliant. So I think getting fellas to sit down and watch that for 40 minutes, two or three nights, or maybe two nights a week on top of the club training wouldn't be too much to ask of fellas. They don't have to travel anymore, but they are getting messages from the manager. And, you know, you can keep fellas on their toes and almost do it like a lecture and pop quiz fellas to make sure fellas aren't at home falling asleep watching Home and Away while the meeting's happening or anything, you know what I mean? So it's some fellas in meetings like that in Zoom can sometimes maybe zone out if they're not being, you know, if it isn't interactive. But interactive is hard. We do a lot of it here at work with Zoom calls. We did a lot of signing of contracts through Zoom during the COVID epidemic. And what you'd have is everybody would be talking at different times and it would be hard to pick certain people up. So maybe something with, like, you know, having back Zooms meeting, maybe you do a middle eight Zoom meeting, maybe you do a forward Zoom meeting, certain ways that they defend certain scenarios. But there's loads can be done on that front that you can have your team as well prepared as you can, that when you do get them back in September 14th. But here's the issue: when you get them back in September 14th for the county manager, you may have a lot of your guys still involved in county championship semi-finals, finals, quarter-finals. Mm. So it's still, you still don't have them when you're doing your sessions. So I think the GAA need to come out and cover off both senses of you know, change, both when it comes to the health around the COVID and the checking with the temperature gauges or whatever other means they can bring in to help us to be safe as players. That, as I said earlier on, if I was going home putting my grandmother to bed tonight, that I would know that she'd be safe and she'd be okay. And right now, could I put my hand on my heart and say I know that when I'm coming out of a training session? I don't. We've got a certain few guys in Dublin that come down from work and training on Friday and Sundays. Do I know, are they fully being hygienic throughout the week? Are they wearing masks? Are they putting on gloves? Are they sanitizing? We hope so, and we tell each other that we should do this, but I can't. It's impossible to put that on a manager or a COVID officer in a club, you know, a person who's done an online course for 5 or 6 minutes. It's very hard to put that on them.
Yeah.
And if a breakout happens within a club and somebody, you know, loses a parent or a grandparent, you know, this COVID officer has an awful lot of, you know, weight on his shoulders and all this. And I just think that they should be supported to say, well, at least, look, I've done the checks. I did my temperature gauges. I didn't see a spike in his temperature. So maybe the case it arrived when he wasn't here, or he didn't have it when he was here last Tuesday, that he got it at Wednesday when he went home. Or I'm just trying to put myself in that person's shoes, that if people start getting it in the club, and you're also thinking about the player, you know, and you'd hope they'd be responsible enough to make the brave and right decision. But you've got the guy the night before the county final that's coughing and that has pains in his chest and his temperature's up around 35, and he's never played in the county final before, and his whole family are getting ready for it on October 11th, and you'd hope that he makes the brave call and rings his manager and says, I've got symptoms, I don't feel good, I won't be there. But that's not easy for guys to do that.
Just hope is the thing, isn't it? Like, there's got to be something else. And there's a fall off. I know we keep referring to that Westmeath example, but like, there is a fall off in the understanding of this thing. Like, I mean, they were having a debate about various, how many people would have to come in contact with the thermometer. It's not a thermometer that the
this is one you put up to the forehead, Adrian.
People who have kids, like, will be very familiar with them. They're little sort of things that you hold in front of the forehead. So what I'm saying is there's a fall off of understanding that we've been asking the off the ball viewers about, sort of, you know, if there's a breach of that guideline, that 14 September guideline for return to collective training, should teams be thrown out of the championship? And nearly 70% feel that kick them out, with the guts of 1,000 votes there. So that's the way people are thinking. Just one on the GPA, Kieran, they're obviously very concerned. They've had their statement during the week, very concerned about the narrative, this nasty narrative that's cropped up about pitting club versus county. It's really getting them down, that narrative. What are your thoughts about the GPA's role in this and trying to bring some sort of a solution to it? And how far they've gone or not, I suppose.
Oh, we've just lost.
Sorry, Kieran. Sorry, did you lose me?
You're back.
Sorry,
no, you're back.
Calling me there. it's a very hard one, as I said, for all involved to get every statement 100% right, because there's so many different viewpoints, there's so many opinions on this. But you know, the GPA, as much as they do, they're not the bosses. They're not the head honchos. We know who the bosses are. We know who the head honchos are in the GAA world, and they had to kind of, I think they had to take the lead on this maybe a bit stronger from the get-go. And yeah, I don't really like the narrative of you know, I don't like this constant opinion of this really bitter kind of club versus county narrative. We all want our clubs to do well. We all want our counties to do well. That's where we all come together and go up to Dublin on these very memorable days to support our county team. And, you know, I don't think players or people involved with county teams, you know, should be feeling like the general community in their area are constantly giving out. So it's a very tricky one to kind of get right. But look, I think the ultimate thing here around club and county is there needs to be more direction. There needs to be a firmer, a more direct narrative around this, and it had to come from the top down. And I think everybody rolled, the GPA would roll in behind that, the players would roll in behind that. But when it's left very airy-fairy, as it is now, and, you know, there's no sanctions, lads, but you can't train until September 14th. Sure, that makes as much sense as I don't know what. Like, that's like the threats that I make to my daughter, Lola Rose, every day. If she doesn't eat her dinner, she's not going to get her jelly baby afterwards. She always gets her jelly baby whether she eats the dinner or not. So it's these empty threats that anybody as a parent in this modern day knows. When I was young, and my father said to do something, there wasn't an empty threat coming, and it was done fairly rapid and fairly lively. But now, when I issue these big threats to Lola Rose and Indy when they're not doing what I want them to do, they look through me, maybe like some of the county teams are looking through the GAA now and kind of going, well, you're not going to do anything to me anyway, so we're going to fire on. So that's something that needs to be addressed. And as I said, there is no issue with the GAA. We're a great organisation, but we are an amateur organisation. We aren't like the NBA bubbles and the premierships and all the tests, and that's not possible. But they still could have maybe need to come out and be firmer and come out and be firmer fast. Don't let this thing evolve to where more players are getting it, more clusters are breaking, you know, or a cluster breaks out within a club or a community. Maybe come out and just get firmer with it now. And look, to be honest, it's... As I said, it's a constantly evolving situation. You know, if you said to me 6-7 weeks ago, I was kind of saying there'd be no football. You know, I really thought there'd be no sport the way it was going, and then it kind of turned quickly. So it is constantly evolving. So it wouldn't like they'd be you know, reacting to this and having to come out and do something. They could. It's very perceivable that things have changed over the last few weeks, and things have been brought to their attention, and they're upping the sanctions or they're changing the statement or they're upping the demand that they're putting on that statement with as I said earlier on, with maybe some threat behind it. And but look, it's also very hard to monitor in the GAA. Know that people are very good at being secret around the place now, but you know, I think there is onus. I think there is some onus as well on county managers that are doing this, obviously, to come out and stop doing it and to reevaluate the position that they're putting their players in, and maybe think, as Mike Quirk has done in Laois, and I'm sure there's others have done similar, better ways around this for everybody involved.
Kieran Donaghy, great stuff. Thanks a million for taking the call.
No hassle, boys. We'll talk to you later.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.